Good morning. We're going to continue this series we've done for the end of 2018 and the beginning of 2019 on what we call clear focus. What should we focus on? There's so many things in life, so many topics in the scriptures, so many things going on in society, so many things in each of our individual lives. Sometimes we have a hard time figuring out where we should put our attention. So to help with that, we have a series of teachings. We're partway through, and we'll continue for a number more sessions, called Clear Focus, where God tells us specific things to focus on. And last week, we focused on the topic that God loves us, and we read many wonderful scriptures talking about God's tremendous love and care for us, and realizing that that is always there. Other things may come and go in life. Hopefully, we want the good things to stay and the bad things to go. But no matter what we do, things change in life. And sometimes we can do something to help it, sometimes we can't. But we always know that God loves us. That is a constant in our lives that we should focus on. And I know I've had a great couple weeks thinking about that during the day as I pray and think about life, just remembering how much God loves us. Now, today we're going to sort of look at the other side of the same coin on the importance of us to love others. As you know, when the Pharisees challenged Jesus Christ about what was the most important law in the Old Testament law, he said simply, basically, love God and love your neighbor. Those were the two focuses. And last time we read about God loving us, and now we're going to talk about how we should love others. And this is such a great point in life. I can just think of so many times in my life where this has been critical. I remember I had a job once where the office politics were just killing me. Everybody was making my life difficult, and I just, wanted to go screaming down the hall to the boss and make noise and cause a ruckus. But instead, I just prayed and asked God what to do, and he just said, walk in love. So instead of spending all day being mad at my coworkers and my supervisors, I just decided to be as kind as I could to everybody. And I don't even remember what the problem was at work, but whatever it was, it went away in like 2 days. It had been bugging me for weeks. And that still happens to me today. I read the Bible in the morning and I pray for a lot of people. And so many times I'm praying for somebody and God just says, love them. Love them. You know, it's not that I have to do some big complicated thing. I just have to walk in love. And it is such a big part of life. The more we can just walk in love, that just solves so many things. There's a verse that I don't think is in our list of verses we're going to read today, but it says somewhere in, I think in the epistles, it says, love covers a multitude of sins. It really does. You can do all kinds of things wrong, and we all do. We're not perfect. But when we walk in love, that love just covers a multitude of sins. People don't worry so much about this, that, and the other thing if they know that they're loved. And it is just the greatest thing in the world. So there are many, many things we will focus on as we go through these sessions in the weeks to come. But knowing that God loves you and knowing that you should love others are two very big ones. So, Proverbs 15, we'll start here. Proverbs 15. And verse 17. It says, better is a dinner of herbs, in other words, a very light small dinner where love is, than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. And obviously, if you have a stalled ox, you can slaughter it and have this huge feast. So, point is, it's better to have a very small, minimal meal where people love you than this huge, massive feast where everybody hates each other. It just gives us some perspective about the importance of walking in love and being loved. And if you think about it, the people you like being around, quite often, it's just those people that love you. They believe in you. They care for you. They look out for you. Those are the people you want to be around. the people that are always attacking you and hating you and being mean to you. If you're like me, you generally try to avoid those people because they don't help you. You can't help them. What's the point? But if you walk in love and people walk in love towards you, then you have great, wonderful fellowship one with another. Proverbs 17 and verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. You know, somebody goofs up, and instead of making a big deal about it, you just don't talk about it. You just say, that wasn't that big a deal. But he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. So let's say you and I are together, and I do something stupid, which would be common for me. If you make a big deal about it, well, you'll probably separate us as friends, because I don't want to be around people that tell me what an idiot I am all day. But if you just say, oh, no big deal, you just made a boo-boo, everybody does, well, you seek love when you do that. So he that covereth a transgression, now this, I mean, let's be honest, there are other places in the scripture that talk about confronting people and dealing with issues. You know, if somebody does something really absurd that's very hurtful, sure, you got to talk about it. But if it's just a typical thing where people make mistakes, if you cover it, you'll seek love. But if you repeat a matter and keep talking about it, you'll just separate very friends. So you sort of have to decide how you want to live life. Do you want to sit there all self-righteous and tell everybody else how bad they are? Or do you just want to love people? If you just love them, they will love you back, and life will be smooth. If you spend all your time being critical, thinking you're God and they're stupid, it won't work. They won't be happy with you, and you'll separate very friends. Look at Proverbs 17, verse 17. It says, a friend loveth at all times. That's how you find who your real friends are. They're still with you. They're still loving you. If they walk away from you when there's a tough time, they're not really very good friends. Friend loveth at all times. Doesn't mean they always agree with you. Doesn't mean they won't try to help you, you know, change if you need to change. But they still love you. They're still there. And a brother is born for adversity. A brother is born to be there when you're in trouble, when you have adversity. People who walk away from you when you have adversity, they're not friends and they're not acting as brothers. Look at Matthew chapter 5. As we know, Jesus Christ had some radical statements about love and forgiveness, but they're true. And he was speaking the word of the Lord. Matthew 5, verse 43. Matthew 5, 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, it takes a pretty big heart and sort of a biblical attitude to be able to do that, but it's possible. I've gotten to the place where, not always, but quite often when somebody gives me a hard time about anything, whether it's at a store or in business or just in the neighborhood, when I have my wits about me, I just think, boy, that person is having a tough day if they have to be so mean. I'm going to pray for them, because anybody that's having a normal day wouldn't be so mean. So that's what it's talking about here. When somebody gives you a hard time, pray for them. You know, it's just as easy as getting mad at them, and you'll be happier. Because the other thing about it is you're not letting their negativity and hate rub off on you. You're not turning around and becoming a hateful person also. Excuse me, I got a little thing. Let's read that again. Matthew 5:43. You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is heaven. in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Do not even publicans the same? Publicans were the tax collectors. Nobody's ever liked tax collectors, and back then apparently the tax collectors were quite crooked, so that was about the worst insult you could give somebody, is call them a tax collector. So here we are in Matthew 5:46. If you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And that's true. It's really easy to love people that are kind to you, and we should. And we should be kind to others, so they not only are blessed by our kindness, but so they want to love us in return. But we also need to love those who are very hard to love, that are very difficult. It doesn't mean that we can change them, because that's up to them, but we at least are giving them the chance to turn their minds around by being kind to them. So we should love them and bless them that curse you. Now here's something about forgiveness. Matthew 18:21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. 70 times 7. Point is, a lot. Keep forgiving people. Keep loving people. Don't let people's negativity and hate get to you. Let other people be the ones who are petty and hateful, and every time something happens that's a little funny, they take offense and, you know, go nuts on everybody. Let somebody else do that. We should be the ones who walk in love no matter what. We should be the ones who forgive no matter what. We should be the ones that pray for people that are having a tough time. It's not always easy, and none of us are perfect at it, but we should try very hard to do that. You know, just like when I hear a siren, and, you know, sometimes I'm driving around D.C., and, you know, there's a bunch of emergency vehicles, and the tendency is to get mad because they're blocking traffic and slowing you down. And there are days I do that. But on a good day, what I'll do instead is I'll say, boy, somebody's having a tough day. If they have to send out an ambulance and 2 fire trucks, somebody is in trouble. And I pray for them. I pray for them because, yes, I'm stuck in traffic for 5 minutes and I'm delayed, or maybe 10 minutes, but I'm not having as bad a day as the people who have an ambulance and 2 fire trucks going to their house. Whatever's going on there is much worse. So I pray for them. And the more we can rise above the petty squabbles that people have every day and instead walk in love and forgiveness, again, not only are we helping those other people, but our lives are more peaceful because we're focused more on God. And remember what it says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We look to God, we pray for people, we try to love them, and the result is we're blessed, we're thankful, we're peaceful, and we're doing the best we can to help that person we're praying for, or that we're being kind to, or that we're trying to help. So everybody benefits. We benefit by doing the will of the Lord and focusing on God. The people we're trying to help benefit because we pray for them and try to help them perhaps in other ways. It's just a win-win situation. The lose-lose situation is when somebody's grumpy and nasty and negative, and you get grumpy and nasty and negative too, nobody wins. Just got a couple of grumpy, nasty, negative people. We're having a terrible day, and they're not going to God for help. They're trying to justify their own anger and their own actions and their own negativity instead of looking to the great positive truths of loving God and his people. Let's go to Matthew 22. Again, none of us are perfect at this, but the more we can wrap our minds around this and rebuild our habit patterns, to instead of lashing out in anger at people, instead reaching out with love and prayer and kindness, the better off everybody is. And just like an athlete has to, if they're trying to swing a tennis racket or kick a ball or run a race, they have to try to rebuild their habit patterns and train their muscles and their mind to perform well as an athlete. Well, we're athletes of the spirit, but our training is to work with our minds to focus on God's word, and in this case, to walk in love towards others. And the more we train ourselves to do it, the better off we and everybody around us will be. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And that's the first thing we need to do, is just train our minds, train our focus to love God with everything we have. Verse 39, and the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. See, there's so many things in the scriptures that people focus on, and it's amazing at times the things people choose to focus on is what they consider the most important part of Christianity or is their walk as Christians, whereas the scriptures are so clear that the focus should always be on loving God and loving your neighbor. There are a lot of other things we do as Christians, many other things in the scriptures. Some of them we do every day, some of them we do on certain occasions when needed. But at the basis of all of it is love God and love your neighbor. And if you can train your brain to do that and focus on that and have that become the habit patterns in your life, then your life will just go smoothly. Because those are the two main things God wants us to do, is love Him and love our neighbors. And knowing how much He loves us helps us love Him. Think of those verses in 1 John where it says, we love Him because He first loved us. And just so many things that God has drawn us to Himself with His loving kindness, as it says in the Old Testament, in the book of Romans where it says, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. It's when God is so good to us, He loves us so much, that's what encourages us to believe Him and trust Him. And as we, in turn, love others, it's going to help them. Now, how much it helps them depends really on their freedom of will. If they want to accept the love of God from us and then learn to trust God themselves and walk in love, great. If they want to harden their hearts and not listen, we can't do a darn thing about it. But we've at least done our best if we reach out with the love of God to help them. So love thy neighbor as thyself. First commandment, love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. Second, love your neighbor as yourself. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 12. Mark, chapter 12, and verse 28. Mark 12, 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first commandment, the first of all the commandments, is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Wow. Again, it's similar to what we read in Matthew, but it makes it even, says it more even strongly, that there is no commandment greater than these. So if somebody picked some little verse out of some part of the Bible and says, this is the only thing that matters in the scriptures, well, it may be important, it's in the Word, but there's nothing greater than love God and love your neighbor. Verse 32, and the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love thy neighbors thyself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And that's saying a lot, because I've actually been reading a lot of that in my daily Bible reading. There's so many sacrifices to pay for their sins. Now, of course, we don't need to sacrifice those animals because Jesus Christ gave his blood as the perfect sacrifice for our sins. But it was a big part in the Old Testament. God wanted to make it very clear to these people that they weren't doing what he wanted and that they had to sacrifice animals as a substitute for them dying for their own sins. And it was a very important part of life as a believer in the true God in the law administration. But this scribe very correctly said that loving God and loving your neighbor is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. Verse 34, and when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst or dared ask him any question. So that scribe got it right. A lot of the scribes and Pharisees harassed Jesus Christ, but this guy had been studying the scriptures and trusted God, and he got it right. Loving God is more than all the whole burnt offerings. Another way to look at it is, maybe to say that in different words, is loving God is more than all the other laws and commandments put together. Love God, love your neighbor. That is the biggest thing you can do. Okay. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Verse 27. Here we go. Luke 6, 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. It doesn't mean you have to let them walk all over you and take advantage of you. But just because they hate you and they're your enemies doesn't mean you have to go down to their level and be an enemy and be hateful. You can sort of rise above all that and walk in love. Verse 28, bless them which curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away that cloak, forbid not to take that coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. This has come down to us in slightly different words. It's what we call the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For, verse 32, if you love them which love you, what thank ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. Verse 34, and if you lend to them that of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And it's really true. If you give out goodness and love and kindness, it comes back to you. Even people who don't believe the true God and just sort of look at life see this principle. Some call it karma. Some say what goes around comes around. But it's an absolute truth that God has made the world work this way, that whatever you give out tends to come back to you. Now, it's true that you can walk in great love and then there's some people be mean to you and you'll have some negative things happen from time to time. But in the long run, God will make sure that whatever you give returns. Verse 39. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but every one that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote, the little piece of something that's in thy brother's eye, and perceivest not the beam that's in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that's in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Oh, I'm in Luke 6. These are great, great verses. I went a little farther than I meant to. I was supposed to stop at verse 38, but that's all interesting stuff. Let's go to Luke 7 now. Luke 7, verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it. He spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus, verse 40, answering, said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he judged unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And you see this with people. The scriptures say all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. But there are those people who are so self-righteous, they think they don't sin. They think they're perfect. And so they don't think God's had to forgive them. So they have very little patience for anybody else because they think they're perfect and everybody else is messed up. Whereas the scriptures are clear that all men sin and fall short of the glory of God. We all need a lot of forgiveness. So we should all walk in great love. Verse 48, And he said unto her, Jesus Christ said unto the woman who had been washing his feet, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is thee that forgiveth sins also? And he saith unto woman, Thy faith, thy believing hath saved thee. Go in peace. So when we realize how much God has forgiven us for, and the great things Jesus Christ did for us in his ministry, our natural response is just to walk in love because we have been so loved. We have been so forgiven. Our hearts should just be filled to overflowing with gratitude, and we should want to reach out in love to others. John 13. By the way, I know some of you have had a hard time getting on the call this morning. I myself, it took a few tries. I know part of it is when you call in the number and they ask for the code, on my phone, I have to put it in very slowly. If I do it at a normal speed, it misses a digit. So if in the future you try to call in and have a hard time connecting, please just call back again and enter the access code, 855-432. Do it more slowly than I just said it. 855-432. That should help. But I found that if you try it a few times and type it in slowly, you usually do connect. But if that doesn't work, we can always find a new call-in system. But it usually works if you try a few times and go slowly. Okay, thank you. Now back to John 13. A couple more sections here in the Gospel of John to wrap up our morning. John 13 and verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. So Jesus Christ, again, is citing this as a major part, if not the major part of his ministry. Walk in love. He said, people will know you're my disciples, my students, my followers, if you walk in love. That's what it takes to walk with God and to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not the only thing. There are many other things we know in the scriptures that are important as Christians. But at the foundation, at the base, is to walk in love. And if you walk in love, everything else will pretty well work out. But if you don't walk in love, and you sit there up on a hill thinking you're perfect and everybody else is messed up, and nothing's really going to work in your life or in your reaching out to help others. Walking in love is at the foundation of walking with God. Let's read that again here in John 13, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. And then one section to wrap up here in John 15, just across the page in my Bible. John 15 and verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. So he said, God loved me, Jesus Christ, and I have loved you, my disciples. Now you guys continue in that love. So as always, it always starts with God. He's the one that loved us. And he loved his son, Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ loved his disciples. And he's telling them, continue ye in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So sticking with God's word and walking in love is how your joy gets full. I know people get all kinds of dreams and goals and things they're targeting in life, and that's wonderful. But at the basis of it has got to be walking in God's love if we want to have full joy in our life. Nothing else quite brings that full amount of joy as knowing God loves you and then walking in love towards others. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He laid down his life for us. Now, we don't need to go be dead sacrifices as he gave his life. It says in Romans, we're to be living sacrifices. God wants us to live for him in loving his people. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. See, early on in this gospel and the others, when his disciples needed things, they asked Jesus Christ. But he's making it clear that he's going to leave and ascend into heaven. So instead of asking him, Jesus Christ, for things, he says, whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And that is so powerful because we get to pray to God the Father with the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 17, these things I command you, that you what? Love one another. verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. So don't be too surprised if people aren't happy when they find out you're a Christian and you love God and his word. Some people will love you and appreciate it, and other people will hate you for it. Other people will just sort of not care either way. It's like when Paul was on Mars Hill. Some said they was nuts. Some said they would hear him again of this matter. But a couple of them stuck around to hear God's word. And that's what it is with us. But to sort of summarize, our topic for today was focusing on loving others. So in the weeks ahead, till we meet again in 2 weeks, I would recommend that you focus on, number one, knowing that God loves you, and number two, reaching out to love others. And as you do that, I think you will have a rich, full 2 weeks. You'll have your challenges, you'll have your tough moments, but overall, things will go very smoothly and very wonderfully because you're doing what God's Word says by focusing on knowing God loves you, and then in return, reaching out to love God and your neighbor. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, for your wonderful kindness. Thank you for these delightful saints who love you so much. Just pray that we can continue to stick together, pray for one another, love one another, reach out to others. Pray that our little challenges with the phone technology work out smoothly so we can all enjoy the teachings, and that those that can't be here on the phone line can listen on the website. And either way, we just love you and are so thankful that you are our Heavenly Father, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, and that we can walk with you day by day, knowing you're always there to provide whatever we need. We thank you for that and your tremendous faithfulness. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, bye, guys. I love you. If the Lord tarries, we'll talk in 2 weeks. In the meantime, let's keep praying for each other. Have a great couple weeks. Bye-bye.